B-Pod Studios.
Getting to the bottom of the story in the middle of the day.
Former chapter head of the Turkey Association.
Hello, Walter.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From the Boston Red Sox, Xander Bogaerts. A strikeout of Bogaerts in a 1-2-3 sixth inning for Joe Manaply. And J.D. Martinez.
Martinez down swinging.
Two down.
Batting third and playing third base from the Boston Red Sox, Rafael Devers. 3-2 in the dirt, and Devers takes the walk.
Welcome in. Solak and Bertrand on a Wednesday on the new road show. We're on the road.
That's I like being on the road.
It's a large TV behind us. We're coming to you from our temporary Town Fair Tire Studios.
Yeah, for a couple days.
We're guests at NBC Sports Boston.
Fantastic people.
Set up here. Boy. It's quite the room. Very bright lights in here. Very bright.
Nice job by Josh Fowler and his entire crew and the old man we saw again. I haven't seen him in a while.
Jim Burgoyne. Yes. Yes. That's not nice. Not nice to call him the old man.
Well, he's got the white hair.
Yeah. I was told there was going to be a surprise, and I have seen, I've seen no surprise, T-Bone. You told me Fowler may have had a surprise for us. Nothing has been surprising.
It's not lunchtime yet, and it's National Hot Dog Day today. Just saying.
He's going to feel bad if that's not the surprise.
Yeah.
Him in the control room.
Did you think of that?
Yeah.
Not the surprise.
I wouldn't say, hey, there's going to be a surprise, then tell us there's going to be a surprise. And we just sit here open-handed as we start the show. You said there were going to be balloons, supposedly.
No, I heard there may be balloons.
I don't see any balloons anywhere.
What is the large metallic black object in between you two? What is that
this
thing? Yeah.
Oh, so there's...
great question.
There's monitors in there where we can watch the show, but we don't see you anywhere, Hardy.
Look at these monitors, Hardy. They got too many monitors here.
Well, I don't think you're supposed to touch that.
We're going to have a stroke right now.
Ah, that's fine.
That.
I told him.
That's a 4-second delay? No, I'm saying 4 seconds before. Oh, only 4 seconds. I'm sorry. Only 4 seconds into the show, and you're almost breaking things.
Why? There's so many things here. There are way too many TVs in this place.
Oh, there.
Gorgeous building.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
There's Hardy.
Look at that. Better brush your teeth. We'll be able to see them all today, boy.
Wow.
You got a little food right there between your one bicuspid.
Hardy regrets having that great camera on his computer.
Jesus
today.
Christmas. I could see.
That's too big.
Oh, my God.
That's what she said.
All right.
Okay. Well, you heard the highlight reel of last night's All-Star game. Is it related to the Red Sox?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that little package of everything to do with the Red Sox probably perfectly encapsulates
the season.
the night, the All-Star game, which is how boring. How boring of an event is that compared to the night before? I told you yesterday this was going to happen. I said nothing that you see tonight will even come close to giving you the excitement and the pace and the access to players and the fun of night one of the Home Run Derby. Night two, that was boring last night. I tuned out by it got 3-2. I said, I'm out. That's it. I've had enough of this.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And I mean, I heard Felger and Mass start their show yesterday. Mass said he watched Netflix. Didn't even watch neither of them watch out of market, what do you call them? All-star/
Wait, they didn't
skills.
They didn't watch the Derby?
They didn't watch the Derby at all. Nobody on the show watched Derby, not one. They couldn't talk about the Derby because they didn't watch it.
Oh. Well, that's their problem.
I don't know how you do that. When you do forest sports, you don't watch the Derby.
Well, those guys are good at watching
everything. I even watched the Derby.
I watched the Derby start to finish. Last night, I was excited. I liked the All-Star game. I've always liked
the
All-Star
beginning
game.
Of it.
And then I watched probably 45 minutes of pregame coverage for the All-Star game. And I'm going to tell you that the 45 minutes of pregame coverage with
Ortiz
and Frank Thomas and A-Rod was better than anything that actually happened in the game.
Absolutely.
Those guys were more fun to listen to than watching the game itself. The game is dreadful. It's been that way for a number of years now, and it doesn't help when they treat it the way they treat it on TV, which is last night, you had Joe Davis. Is that his name? Is it Joe Davis?
Joe Davis.
Thank you. I don't know why I thought I may have had that wrong. But Joe Davis, who is the new Joe Buck for Fox. Joe Buck's gone.
It sucks.
First All-Star game in forever that didn't have Joe Buck doing it. It's Joe Davis, who is a, you know, top-notch play-by-play guy.
Solid.
And if the game had any actual meaning to it, I would want Joe Davis on the call. If it were a playoff game, if it were an ALCS game, you'd want Joe Davis on the call. No doubt about it. The World Series, sure. But for the All-Star game, you've got Joe Davis and John Smoltz, who also
is
a smart, intelligent baseball guy who can provide great analysis of games that have meaning. Last night's game had zero meaning. It's supposed to be really fun, and you got two guys that are super serious and not fun.
Should have had like a Matt Vasgersian on the call or something like that, where they combo it with somebody that could inject a little fun into it, because you're going to need that back and forth. It's not about learning about
baseball.
How about
the introductions? Could you have been any more boring?
I know. Jazz it up, man. You're
from
in L.A.
the Boston Red Sox.
Yes.
Xander Bogaerts. Like, what is this?
The most exciting part of the night was Mookie Betts taking the mic at home plate.
The presentation of the game is too boring, and it's too dry, and it is in stark contrast to what happened the night before. And so I think baseball has a problem with this game. They do. What are they trying to achieve with this game now?
Hey, the commissioner's a problem. I know he got interviewed last night about, you know, what's the issues with the uniforms? Why are you going to unicolor across the board? And he said, well, it kind of doesn't. Looks crappy when we have a mishmash. No, that's the great thing about your game. That's the nostalgic part of it when you were a kid. And if you were more of a baseball fan when you were a kid, for me, it was seeing Willie Stargell, you know, in the black pants and the gold top and a striped hat. And, you know, there's a Philly player in there. You know, it was National League for me because that's what I grew up watching. American League, you'd probably want to see Red Sox, Yankees, you know, Texas, you know, Seattle, those guys in those units, Anaheim. You blew it last night with the uniforms. You couldn't have picked a worse color combination for the American League team. It was awful. They look like UPS guys out there.
Look,
no offense to the UPS drivers. You do a fantastic job. Go ahead, Artie.
I don't disagree with you that the game itself was not exciting, and I did stick around until the end because I wanted to see what happened if it ended in a tie. That's the only reason. I mean, a 3-2 game, and it came down to the last inning. So, all right, I'll hang in for that. But to say that the home run derby is somehow more exciting than the game, well, that assumes that the home run derby has some excitement to it. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I've never been like a big home run derby guy. Maybe way back in the day when, you know, it was just a steroid fest. Okay, you can kind of get into that. But it's like the ultimate exhibition of exhibitions. It's a skills competition. It's, you know, everything that we rag on for the other all-star things. And it's only one skill. It's one group of guys doing one thing, the same thing over and over and over again. I'm not saying that you're wrong for liking the home run derby. I'm just saying, don't make a blanket statement like, that's great, and the game sucks. This game's got a problem. No, I watched more of the game than I did the home run derby. I could not care less about the home run derby. I don't care. I cared a tiny little bit about the game just because there was some actual baseball being played, and I wanted to see what happened if it ended in a tie. But for those two reasons, I found it more compelling than the home run derby.
You wanted to see if it ended up in a tie because you wanted to see the home run derby aspect of the tiebreaker.
Just to see how that was going.
That's when he would care. That's when he would care.
Because, I mean, if that would be amazing if it ended that way last night.
Yeah, because it would be how long would it take them to do that tiebreaker home run derby?
That's a good question, because people want it in regular major league games like that.
Well, how long?
I think it would take longer than people think, because it's three rounds, right? You pick three players, they get three pitches each. You get three swings each, I mean, and it's three rounds.
It's a damn sight shorter than the actual home run derby is my point.
Yeah.
So I'd watch it for that. Plus, there's something on the line in terms of just one person winning $1 million. Who cares? Who cares?
Soto won $1 million.
Okay.
We haven't received the numbers for the viewership of last night's game yet, but I could tell you that this year's home run derby had better numbers than last year's game itself.
Yeah, I believe
that. Because of the lineup.
Yeah. And so... And, And the NFL Pro Bowl does better numbers than a lot of other good things that are on at the same time. It doesn't make
But we're comparing two back-to-back league-wide events on consecutive nights in the middle of the sports calendar when nothing else is happening.
Yeah, Felger Mass.
I think that's sort of relevant to say that that the Derby itself, which is the skills competition of baseball, rates, you know, it compares to the game itself. Yeah. And the game itself is boring. That's a boring game last night.
Felger Mass had numbers, some numbers, especially locally, that the Home Run Derby slightly beat out Red Sox numbers in certain demos. And it's like men 25-54. The Home Run Derby barely, now from a national perspective, beat out the Pro Bowl, which is an awful, awful exhibition.
Well, no one watches that.
Yeah, but still, I mean, like, you barely beat that out. Nobody, I don't even tune into that thing. I actually watched a Home Run Derby. You read the lineups yesterday for the first three batters that each team was going to face last night, and that brought me to the start of the game. Like, okay, I want to see this. And then after about second, third inning, I checked out.
So you don't think the All-Star game has a problem, though, in terms of what is it going to achieve for the sport?
It's never going to achieve. I mean,
well, once upon a time, it really did. But,
yeah, you know, get home field advantage.
Its ratings have steadily declined from its peak of the 80s and 90s.
No, I don't think it's a problem. It's one game a year, whether people watch it or not. It doesn't matter. I don't care about any All-Star game. I don't. They're pointless. They're useless. They don't. The purpose that they used to serve doesn't need to be served anymore. It was a chance to see all those guys because you never got a chance to see them. You know, you never got to see the guys from the National League if you're, you know, an American League fan. It's just, okay, so it's an antiquated notion why the whole thing exists in the first place. So the fact that they don't need it, well, it's only once a year. So what would the problem be if the game continues to be boring? That people they're still going to have it. They're still going to do
it. I just think it's a lost. I think it's a lost opportunity. I think the presentation of the game could use some help. I think you could find a way to get more access to the players. They started obviously with some of it last night with the guys.
They were talking to pitchers while they're in the middle of pitching.
Understood. I think they should do more of it. I think they got some of the things right last night that they should do more of. There should be more of that and less of the two dry broadcasters in the booth treating it like it's a game that really means anything. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And they
the two broadcasters, that I agree, that was a mistake having those guys call the game. But what, do you want to mic up everybody? We saw what happens when you... Do you remember what it was like when he had all four guys mic'd up in the match when it was Brady and Mickelson and Peyton, and he had all these guys talking at once? It's garbage. You can't do it. You've got people standing way too far away from each other, carrying on conversations with each other. It would drive, you know, anybody who wants the you talk, I talk thing up a tree, because it's just people talking over each other and having different conversations. That would suck. That's mic up everybody at once? No, can't do that.
You could also not do it in real time. You could also go back once you captured things and say, oh, this just happened a moment ago, and you show something from a moment ago in the dugout. How many times have we seen that happen where guys are mic'd up and then they replay it? They do it in the NBA with coaches every single broadcast when they have access to the coaches. Here's what happened in the huddle 2 minutes ago. You deliver it 2 minutes later. I mean, there's got to be ways to make it better than what it was last night. What's the reason for a baseball fan to really care about that game last night? That is my question.
Why should I really care about it? If they bring it back so that it determines home field advantage in the World Series.
That didn't do it either. That didn't make it a different viewing experience.
So did you ever like it? Did you ever think it was a good viewing experience?
No.
Yes, I did.
What was different?
That there were tremendous superstars in the sport, and they were still in an era where they just cared about going out and competing against each other because that was probably right around the time Interleague first started or was about to begin, but still there was this factor of guys really caring about it, and I don't think they really care about it anymore.
It's not the broadcast.
The mentality of the players
has changed. Little bit of everything.
The game's different.
It's a lot of everything. The entire culture of viewing sports has changed.
Yep.
And I don't think baseball's caught up very well based on that game last night. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. More on last night's game, more on the guys who are participating from Boston at things that were being said yesterday, and Xander Bogaerts coming out of the game and what he chose to do after he came out of the game, that should get your attention a little bit. We'll get to all that coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand, and your calls as well. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By the way, Hattie, I like...
He's the calming voice of the Midday Show.
You're siding with PK. Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I know this is the All-Star 2022 game, 2022 All-Star game. But today is a special day. It's Miss Rachel Robinson's 100th birthday. So on the count of three, I want everybody here to say happy birthday, Rachel. One, two, three. Happy birthday, Rachel.
Told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb.
Love that guy, Mookie Betts.
Who the hell's that guy?
On her forehead.
I almost fell off my couch.
Great player.
A comfortable,
great player,
smooth.
Mookie Betts.
People have no clue how hard that is to do when you talk in a stadium, Mike. I've done it before.
The echo coming back.
The echo
you?
And the reverb. I start slurring about halfway through what I'm trying to say because you're hearing yourself on delay, and it just messes with you. He's smooth as hell. Personality coming out there.
Excuse you.
What? I said that's why you slur, Zoe.
Oh, wow, wow.
Tight.
Already having a day over there. It's very hot. Very
how's
hot.
Week,
out of
how's your week been over there?
Yeah. Oh, it's so hot, man. Really, really exciting.
Running out things
myself.
To do around the house.
Oh boy.
What next? What can we do next?
Go for another walk with the dog.
Yeah, but I mean that's a different Mookie Betts. We haven't. I know Mookie has talked during a parade here and stuff, and just I don't know. He seems like a different guy, personality wise.
Well, Did you happen to catch what Mookie told Chris Gasper?
Yes.
Ahead of the game. We know that he got 12 years, $365 million from the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. He said that if the Red Sox had offered the same deal to him, he would have taken it from Boston.
Yeah.
That's what he told Gasper.
We talked about this yesterday with Devers and Bogaerts, and you go where the money is. We did this with Soto.
Gasper, and by the way, this goes against Gasper's narrative. Or opinion on this matter, which is he believes
Mookie didn't want to be here
and Mookie was going to go. So I give Gasper credit for doing some honest reporting on this.
Yep.
He asked him, he said, if they offered you that, would you have taken it? And here's the answer. Absolutely. I just didn't get it. That's the argument. I didn't get it. So that's why I am where I am. They didn't offer me $365 million. The Dodgers did. I wasn't going to sign in Boston. They didn't have an offer to my liking, and they never reached where the Dodgers reached to. So are we taking Mookie at his word? I know it's easy to say once you're gone and it's over with, and you're now multiple years removed from it happening. But, Milliken, are we taking Mookie at his word? Or are we going to call him a liar? What are we going to do?
I'm not taking it. The report was he got 10 years, 300 here. He countered with 12, 420. Obviously, he met in the middle. He actually took less average annual value when
it came.
That's how,
but that's how negotiations work.
No,
they throw a number that you think is low. You throw the number that's high, and you try and meet in the middle, and the Red Sox didn't budge.
But there was a little turmoil, though, when Mookie agreed to his deal because of the whole COVID thing,
yeah,
too, and where
that league ended up being the difference.
No, I understand that.
Free agency was different at that time.
I understand that, but you understand it's $65 million more he got.
That's all you care about.
In a deal from the Dodgers. That's not an insignificant amount of money. And so I know what he countered with. I know that he countered with something that's more than what he got, but that's how it goes. You throw a low number, I throw a high number, we meet in the middle, and everyone goes home happy.
Yeah.
So I just think I'm not going to call Mookie Betts a liar. Take him at his word. He said he wasn't even vague. Would you have taken that deal with Boston? Absolutely, I would have taken that deal with Boston. Okay. So Mookie Betts would have stayed. There's that. He established that this week. Meanwhile, this from Alex Speer, that he went to Devers yesterday asking him about his report about the Matt Olson comp with the 8-168, the $21 million a year. And he wrote, Devers just confirmed my report that the Red Sox had used Matt Olson as a comp, but said he wanted to be recognized for who he is as a player. He said he knows his value. I asked him what that was. He and Bogarts cracked up. Devers declined to answer.
Says it all right there.
Oh, that is such a great, great thing that happened right there. Bogarts and Devers laughing in the Red Sox face from the All-Star game.
Yeah, because you insulted me, now I'm going to insult you.
My value. It ain't what the Red Sox think it is.
Yeah.
Stupid team.
You have a times two in there? Yeah.
They just start laughing. Yeah, dude, what's that value? Please.
Which is what's scarier is that, you know, they're both talking about it. I think they're both aware of each other's situation, potential to come back. They obviously like each other. There's a bond there between these two. And this is where players start to separate. You know, you get the money.
The treatment of Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers right now has me so much more aggravated with this team and really mad with this team than I ever really get with the losing.
No, you're right.
Losing stinks.
You're right.
Right? Like it, but it happens. Like it's, you have ups and downs, and I know the roller coaster of the Red Sox has always bugged me over the last 20 years. They're either fantastic or they suck. But this to me is completely within your control. And it's something that they should be doing a much better job of, and they're not.
The worst thing about this is it could taint the Devers part of it. And if Devers is that tight as we think he's tight with Bogarts, the mishandling of Bogarts, you not taking care of Bogarts, could make his decision easier of, yeah, I could see myself playing in another place. I've gone out there. We talked with Mookie, and Mookie told us, hey, you got to make the right decision for yourself, what's best for your family, and don't listen to everybody.
Abraham had this. Xander Bogarts came out of the game after the sixth inning. Many of the players leave the stadium and head for home once they exit the game. But he stuck around, said he wanted to get to know some players and spend some time with Benintendi. You find that interesting?
Well,
I just figured I'd stick around and get to know players a little bit better and think about, you know, pick their brains on how they like their situations with certain markets and certain teams.
JD was still in the game, so you kind of got to stick around because it's you three together. I mean, the Red Sox had those posts. They took the private jet out, probably waiting for the private jet back after the game. So, I mean, you got to stick around the stadium to begin with. What's he going to do, go back to his hotel and wait for the game to end? Because I know Martinez was the only one in there till late in the game. So you're waiting to depart. But he could have gone back to the hotel, could have went out to eat, could have hit a restaurant, hung around, waited for the airport. I mean, it's a different, you know, you don't got to get to the airport 4 hours early. You could get to the damn plane whenever the hell you want when you're taking a private jet. But I think it does say something that, you know, you stick around and, you know, talk to guys. That's your time. The NBA does it, right? All the canoodling and the back and forth and the recruitment of players. And, you know, that's not the way it is in baseball. But I think there's a respect thing there that, yeah, there's a lot of great players here. There's other guys that have bounced. What the hell is the name of the player that went to the Dodgers from Atlanta? But had the
Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman. Yeah. So talk to guys like Freddie Freeman in that. You know, it's, you know, or guys in his situation where, oh man, now I regret leaving Atlanta, and you know it's not always sunny on the other side. The grass isn't always greener. So, yeah, take in everything because you got a major decision next year.
617-779-0985. Thoughts on All-Star Game, thoughts on Home Run Derby, how those sort of tie into each other in All-Star Game week. Today there is absolutely nothing on the sports calendar, correct? Is there anything going on today? Anything happening out there?
Not much. The morning news is running out of stuff. I saw Fox 25 this morning.
Slowest week of the year.
Covered a chicken that went on a journey, got lost, was reunited with its owner after a 15-mile trip.
Oh.
And that hit the news this morning.
I've got something else. Cycle. Something else that caught my ear, All-Star Game-wise, last night that I thought was interesting and ties into the Red Sox a little bit, I guess. But we'll get to that coming up in your calls next here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated.
Farias is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Solak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yes, a son named Jacob who came up the other day really upset from his school in Astoria. He just came up and he's like, are you telling me that Aaron Judge may not be a Yankee after this year? What do you have to tell to Jacob right there and to all your fans that want you to remain in a Yankee uniform? I wasn't going to put you on the spot. I mean, we're on live TV.
Yeah, no, Jacob, buddy. You know, we got a lot of great Yankees on this team. You know, there are a lot of great Yankees. Be here for a long time, you know, so don't be upset. Don't be upset. Hopefully you'll be a Judge fan for life.
Nice job, Yankees.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to arbitration.
I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that he said that.
Now you put him on the spot. He's got to say something.
But he pretty much confirmed it.
He pretty much said, hey, Jacob, I hope you're a fan of mine because I'm not going to be a great Yankee anymore. So
yeah, a lot of great Yankees here. You should be fans of them.
Yeah, hey, like those other
what
guys.
What other guys you should like?
There's other guys under contract that will be for a long time. Go like those guys.
No.
Why?
Don't worry. If you want to stay a Yankee fan, but hopefully you'll be a fan of mine because I'm not going to be there. Like, I agree, Zoe. He's got to say something. You just can't, you know, stand there tight-lipped. But you could say, hey, you know, whether I'm there or not, I hope you remain a fan of the Yankees and baseball. But, yeah, we'll address that down the road. Let's just enjoy the game. But he didn't say that.
Like those other Yankees, Jacob, if you're a Yankee fan. It's like Bogart telling kids in Boston, hey, thank you so much for being a Xander fan. I hope you're a Xander fan next year, too. Well, why wouldn't I be? Well, there's a little thing going on right now.
Carrabba's had a good back and forth with Xander prior to the game, and he thought Xander.
Oh, really? What did he say?
Xander,
do you remember the time you were awesome?
Let
me see your gold. Let me see your black diamonds. Let me see your chain.
Xander came over and goes, what's your question? I don't have a question. I just want to say I love you. I love you when you be here.
Oh, yeah, that's so awesome.
He's like, good guy.
That's all. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I missed that.
Hey, man, remember that time when I was hammered on the duck boats with you guys? That was awesome. Crap. Oh, God.
Oh, okay. Wow.
What's your problem here?
I was so distracted. We're like, I looked over at the monitor. Which way are we supposed to be looking in this studio?
You're at that camera.
Yeah, it's like they're getting the side shots.
I'm at this camera.
Yeah,
I was over here.
Move those in.
I was over here sitting this way.
In.
Yeah, you think the floor manager would say something.
Quirky, why don't we just use
Burgoyne
the one in the
comes
front.
In and goes, slide over this way, slide over this
or
way.
Move those in or something.
What the hell's Fowler doing?
Looks like it's either that or have big-headed Hardy up in the middle of you guys.
I like that.
I kind of like Hardy.
I like big-headed Hardy. It's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah. There he is. Look at that. He's with us in spirit.
Where's our surprise, damn it? I was told there would be
whole hours surprises.
There would be a welcoming committee,
yeah.
Which there was. There were many people here to welcome us this morning.
I scared that woman at the gate when we came in, huh?
I don't think you scared her.
Who was there to welcome you? What was the welcome wagon that I missed out on?
Fowler was standing there with his hands in his pockets.
Fowler was here, and Jim Burgoyne. Fowler was at the door waiting for us.
Oh.
And Jim Burgoyne was here, and Che was here, and obviously we have some of our own people here. Charlie's here, and Polanski's here, and... You know,
I thought today was big move day.
Felt like, what do you mean big move day?
I thought these guys would be with Dennis, like moving stuff up to Walton.
Yeah, like how come you're not over there cutting up the desk? They're leaving here soon.
Well, I mean, we're up and running.
You want to make sure we got everything up and running here.
We're up and running. Thumbs up.
Making sure it's nice and smooth.
Yeah.
There are panels coming off the bottom of the desk here, so that's something.
Oh, so there is a breakdown going on.
Watch out for the mice.
They're probably waiting for the surprise. They don't want to leave yet. They want part of the surprise.
Well, look at it. We got a live shot in there.
I got excited, though.
It's dark in the room over there in Dorchester. It's still there.
See a pair of legs?
It reminds me of when Conan O'Brien went off the air. I think it was when he left NBC.
Uh-huh.
And he destroyed the set as he left. Like they took a sledgehammer to it. This is probably 15 years ago now when he left his first show, and started taking pieces of it and giving it away to guests when they came in. Like, oh, here's a piece of the set. We're leaving. Sort of the way it is.
We take that home and frame it. But Hardy, I got excited when we showed up here because the Shark Vacuum headquarters is right next door.
Yes, it is.
And outside in a cement parking lot, asphalt parking lot, they have pop-up tents. So they have some big festival going on in a 100-degree day, really good weather day to pick that. But they have the pizza ovens
outdoors in a parking
it
lot
looks like
that's
a
all concrete.
Hot pizza competition out in the hot parking lot.
Yeah. Good day for it.
I got a buddy who works over there. Do you want me to find out if they can bring some pizza
see what the
over
hell's
here?
Going on
yes.
over there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, find out what's going on
Maybe
over there.
Maybe he can help with my surprise.
What's your surprise?
I'm waiting on it. I don't know.
Let's go to Gus in New Hampshire. Hi, Gus.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Two basic things. At my age, the All-Star game, it is what it is. Just basic recognition of players' performances. Some like it, some don't. Myself, I'd prefer to watch something else. But as far as the Home Run Derby is concerned, I think they should replace that with like an old-timers game, maybe a five-inning or a seven-inning old-timers game where
old-timers.
You get to see Pedro, Manny, the old guys that can still play a little bit, a little recognition of the guys who got us where we're at.
Steve Buckley can organize that.
Yeah, Steve Buckley's got the old-time baseball game coming up.
Yeah, go see that. They do it each and every year, and I think it's kind of a cool event.
And this year they're supporting Dana-Farber in honor of Jim Corsi.
Yep.
So if you're looking for old-time baseball, that's where you got to go. Go to their website, oldtimebaseball.com. Get all the details.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It's happening August 22nd. There's your plug, Buck. Did it without even being asked.
Yeah.
No, come on. It needs to get more younger and more exciting is my complaint about it. No.
God, I'd like to see
bring old-timers back.
Let's see Frank Thomas in uniform, how big he is right now.
I don't want to see Pedro and Manny play baseball again. I don't.
I'd want to watch Manny swing.
I saw what that looks like.
What about wiffle ball?
Have you ever seen Ted Williams and some of that footage of when the Red Sox did an old-timers game in the 80s? They used
Never
to do
did.
Those. Like the Yankees, I still think, have old-timers day.
They do, with against the media,
but
right?
They used to play these games, and Ted Williams, like in the 80s, would come back and still crush it. Yeah.
Red Sox did one not too long ago.
Did they?
Yeah, I think I remember Pedro being in it.
Jake in Boston, what's up, Jake?
Yeah, I got some football news before I want to talk about the real top story of the day. Now, the news does not involve the Patriots because they're going 6-11, but Zoe, it's very important for you and me. Your Super Bowl 57 halftime show is looking like, finally, thanks to Pepsi no longer being a sponsor, Taylor Swift. She's planning to use it to launch a tour, which obviously will stop at Gillette next year. So next July, 12 months from now, you, me, and Max Lane are going to be in the front row of Taylor Swift at Gillette. And I'm actually serious about this. I'm going to take you two, and we're going to crash it like an Everclear concert. But more importantly today, the WAG of all WAGs is coming to Boston.
Who?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Jake?
Sadly,
wait,
repeat. What WAGs? You said WAGs.
You said WAG of all WAGs, and then you dropped out. What'd you say?
That would be Princess or Duchess Kate Middleton.
I saw this.
The ultimate WAG.
Yes, I saw this. And Xander Bogaerts was part of their announcement.
Yeah.
What's the announcement?
That was a bigger Red Sox news, especially since he won't be there in December.
That's what I thought. All I could think of, I saw the video, and I thought to myself, they're coming in December. Is Xander Bogaerts going to be here in December?
He will not be there. The irony of all of this, and I can't wait to compete with the paparazzi in December, but the irony of all this is next month is 25 years since Princess Diana was murdered. And she was murdered, whether it be intelligence or paparazzi, who knows. But if you're a frustrated husband like Prince William, do you really take your wife to a city which spent $30 billion on a tunnel project? That sounds a
He always goes too far.
You hung up on him for that?
Yeah.
That's a bit of a reach because, it's not the tunnel itself didn't kill Princess Di. It was the chase.
And the chase and the speed hitting a concrete
pylon. I absolutely agree with Jake. That was,
I need him to dial his calls back like 80%.
That was equal to murder. I don't disagree with that. What is happening is the Earthshot Prize is a prize for environmentalists. It's something that William and Kate do, and they're bringing it to Boston.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. They've announced that they've announced that their Earthshot.
I don't care about the stupid babies. I don't care about the tea queen, the birthday. It's crazy. Go ahead.
They're bringing Earthshot to the USA. It's their second prize award ceremony. Mm. It's going to happen in Boston in December. And the video.
Hardy will be there. Hardy loves the
video,
Royals.
The announcement video was Prince William and Xander Bogaerts. Those are the only two people in the video.
I don't
get Bogaerts
it.
Say, hello.
He said,
hello.
We're coming to Boston. And it's Bogaerts in front of the Green Monster. And I thought to myself, well, Bogaerts could be gone by then.
Yeah.
Maybe with another club by then. All right, so that was on social media, that announcement. I think, what else did Jake have? I thought Jake had more news, and you hung up on him.
Oh, Tom cut him off.
You hung up on him, damn it.
He had the Super Bowl halftime.
I thought he had something on the All-Star game, too. But either way.
I think one is enough.
We've got something that needs
investigation. What does Xander Bogaerts have to do with the Earthshot prize?
Nothing other than he's a Boston guy, I guess, in their mind. Did you see the video? You can check it out for yourself. Take a look. It's weird. I don't know what the tie-in is.
Yeah, we don't care.
What's T-Bone's problem today?
I don't know.
Everybody being on edge today?
That was the thing that I probably cared the least about during our trip was the walk over to Buckingham Palace. I'm like, wow, I do not care. I don't care about any of this crap.
The bridges, the trim and gold, like the amount of architecture around it and what it is. I'm with you. The Royals bugged the hell out of me, but to see it, it's pretty neat.
I saw it, but I didn't need to stand there for the changing of the guard. And it's like, oh, this is what that don't care. Don't care.
Crazy American.
Okay. Let's
is that
get
your British accent.
We were in Russia.
Oh, that's right. That'd be a red square thing. A KGB.
We need to conduct an investigation of something, or at least discuss something that happened now a day and a half ago.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about a tweet from the 98.5 Sports Hub account that remains a mystery. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Say is going to the show. You, him, and Max Lane.
I'm trying to incorporate a stage dive joke in there. Only Max, a big Taylor Swift guy. I am. I'll be there. Usually third to first row for those shows.
Oh, excuse us.
All good seats. Yep.
So will Jake.
Jake will too. He gets them.
He gets everything. Yep. Gets tickets for everything.
Yeah. Bet he pays for his.
You're the man. So has anyone ever told you you're the man?
I'm joking.
You're the best. You're so awesome. There was a tweet now a couple of days ago on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Twitter account.
Yes.
That still remains a mystery at this hour.
Yeah. Is it still up
someone
there?
Someone press send. Someone press send.
It's still there. It's still there. I asked a member of management yesterday, what's with the random tweet exactly at 10 p.m. two nights ago on the 18th?
Louth.
When the Sports Hub account tweeted out, when I text you, and then it's the football emoji and the hand wave emoji, it means football's on, don't bother me.
It's not my tweet, sort of.
It was tweeted.
But I wouldn't use the hand.
From a program that is called Social News Desk. Social News Desk. Which is...
How does it have access to the account?
Well, someone gave it access to the account. that's what has gone on.
Better hope they don't put anything nasty up there.
The Social News Desk, according to its website, is the social media platform for newsrooms. And it says, Social News Desk has been a valuable partner to build a relationship with. It's all about, you know, tweeting and content and audience growth and all this crap. But no one knows who authorized the tweet or who came up with that tweet.
Nobody knows?
Nobody knows. Hardy, I'm not kidding. I checked in with all the appropriate people that run the website, run the Twitter account. Nobody knows. They've run it up the ladder, Zoe, to the corporate office and have received zero response.
There's a bot out there.
Nobody knows.
There's a bot that has control.
Nobody knows where this thing came from.
Better be careful.
I saw it right away and retweeted, go home, Sports Hub, you're drunk. Like, in the middle of the Home Run Derby, which was happening at that hour, which was the final 30 minutes of the Home Run Derby. You could tell it was scheduled exactly at 10 p.m. When I text you football and hand wave, it means football's on. Don't bother me. What is that? What are we doing?
So somebody knows. Obviously, somebody knows.
Someone's
who did
not willing
it.
And to reveal. Yeah.
And I would guess that multiple people know, but the person who did the tweet now thinks better of it and doesn't want to take ownership of it. And I would further theorize that at least one other person knows and they're protecting that person.
Okay, I don't believe any single person that we know has the answer.
What?
And I don't think a single person that we know is lying about it.
I'm with you on that with the corny emoji things.
Okay, yep. So whom have you questioned?
Well, it's got to be Stackowitz.
I don't want to reveal who I've questioned, who
it's
I haven't questioned.
Well, I would say Stackowitz.
I'm protecting the identities of the people I've spoken with.
I'm not. I know who I see in the building, and I take notes and I take receipts.
Well,
Stackowitz and Lauf put in a good day's work yesterday.
Nobody. No, I don't know who has access to that account. Just tell me who says they didn't do it, and I'll agree with you
I'm not doing that. I'm protecting the people I've spoken with.
Okay, so Zoe and I are left to our own devices on this one, which is just fine with us. Just fine with us. Zoe, do you think Jim would have sent out that tweet?
He didn't.
Of course he would not. And I think I could see corporate Louth being like on the corporate end of it.
But that's also not his department. That's also not his thing.
Right, but I could see Louth middling it and protecting somebody that he knows put a stupid tweet out.
But he also has access to the station Twitter account.
In fact, I would say that Louth provided the most potential clues that we could have asked for, explaining to us yesterday what the hell that Social News Desk thing is. Oh. And that it involves automated tweets, and if you look at the timestamp, that was something that was scheduled in advance by someone, all of that stuff. He said, I can recognize some of the things that went into that, but I have no idea who the hell did it.
Huh. But somebody had to create it at some point.
I think
it wasn't
some
a
sort
bot
of AI, you know,
thing.
Robot tweeted that thing from some sort of algorithm of something.
Come on. We've given over the Sports Hub account to so it can be things can be tweeted from it without anybody knowing about it.
Yep.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
No kidding. And that's why you end up with ridiculous, weird tweets like that at the most horrible times. Like, what is
So you can go on Twitter. You can go on Twitter and see some of the people that, Beetle, you refuse to name, even though they are guiltless in this. And you could, it is now public record. Ty Anderson spent almost 24 hours, none of us with access to the account has any clue who posted this.
Okay, that's Ty sharing that statement publicly, so that's fair game.
How about Barth and Doloff?
Matt Doloff, top three worst tweet of all time.
See, but that's deflecting right there, Hardy. That's sort of one of those secretive deflecting type tweets.
Alex Barth with a very funny cartoon gif imitating someone waving. Oh, it looks like Madden waving his hands in the face of somebody.
Yeah, it's from Family Guy. It's Madden and
yelling
Summerall.
Football. Is that the yelling football one?
Yeah, Madden and Summerall football. And then, of course, Mark Bertrand, a quote, tweeted it and said, go home, Sports Hub, you're drunk. So
It's odd.
There's a couple of people. That you mentioned.
What's scarier, the radio signals from space or random tweets from the Sports Hub account?
I'd go with this. Because the space stuff, you could, you know, the pulsar, whatever.
Do you know how many people have emailed us to tell us how stupid we are for just talking about it as if it were a broadcast from space?
Well, it might be.
That's really pissed off the scientific
community. You don't know that.
Because how silly.
Take Norton to be that.
That we don't understand that the term radio waves doesn't refer to actual broadcast radio. Well, we get it.
We get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watch Contact, pal. Okay. Email me again.
But
yeah,
that was thanks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.